Welcome to day 312 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host here in Tustin, California, from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we are going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew. We will cover Matthew chapter 25, and we will hear some of Jesus's famous parables, and we will talk about their meaning during our devotional. So beginning today in the New American Standard Bible, beginning at the first verse of Matthew chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you." Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But his master answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does not have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.' Then he will also say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they themselves also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now, let's continue with today's devotional. In today's reading, we heard two very critical parables given by Jesus, and they are found only in the Gospel of Matthew. And both of them illustrate particular attributes or principles of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. It gives us insight into God's way of doing things and how God operates. And the very first parable that we heard was the parable of the 10 virgins. And this is a picture taken from Jewish life at the time in biblical times, where any big event such as a wedding or other Passover or any big event that occurred in Jewish social life was always attended by at least 10 persons. So they use the example here of essentially 10 bridesmaids that would go and meet the bridegroom and then take lamps and essentially escort him to the house of the bride. So there would be this specific type of activity that would take place in Jewish social life with regard to a wedding and a wedding feast. If you look in the book of Ruth, it mentions in Ruth 4:2 that when Boaz married Ruth, they had 10 witnesses. So it's essentially a picture that was familiar to those who are hearing this parable, that there would be a group of people that would always be accompanying the bridegroom in preparation for a wedding. Now, The bridegroom in this parable symbolizes the Messiah, or our Lord Jesus Christ, and then these bridesmaids, or the 10 virgins, would represent people who are professors of Christianity, professors of Christ. And we find that in this group of 10, that 5 are foolish and 5 are wise. And this particular parable gives us some interesting insight and illustration for our lives. One, that the return of Christ is a very important event, such as portrayed here as preparation for a wedding feast. It's a serious occasion, it's a solemn occasion, but it's at the same time a joyful occasion. And that when the Lord returns, there will be all kinds of people who are professors of Christianity, but some of them will have missed what the bridegroom really intended for them, and some will go in and be part of that final wedding feast. We find the 5 foolish virgins were the ones that did not bring oil with them to light their lamps, and then their job was to essentially go and escort the bridegroom and take those lamps and be the ones that were taking him in to meet the bride. And yet 5 of them did not come prepared. Now, throughout Scripture, we know that the oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. We will see it from the Old Testament through the New, that this is the symbol of the Holy Spirit, the oil. So we see that the 5 wise virgins were ones that kept oil with them at all times, so that they would always have fuel, so to speak, for their lamps. But the unwise, or the foolish ones, they carried their lamps with them as if they were going to do the job required of them by the bridegroom, but they truly were never prepared or kept themselves prepared. Imagine somebody who has expressed interest in Christianity. Maybe they've been raised in the church. Maybe they know about Jesus, the historical Jesus. They agree that Jesus died on a cross, and yet they don't personally pursue finding out about the Lord, pursue seeking God, pursue an increase in a relationship with the Lord. They don't pursue the things of God. So they have the outward appearance of being Christians. They were raised in a Christian home, or maybe they even attend church, but there's no real desire to pursue the things of God. That is how these foolish virgins, who didn't even bother to bring oil, they were like that. They outwardly seemed to be interested, but in their hearts, they really never pursued the things of God. Or perhaps they started out with the intention of being followers of Christ, but the things of this earth, the troubles of the world, the anxieties, the pressures, the pursuit of money, or whatever it may have been, really has kept them, or they've allowed themselves to be distracted from keeping or maintaining a burning relationship with the Lord, something that's alive, a faith that's growing and not becoming dry. It's important for us as believers to keep a fresh supply of oil in our lives, to keep the lamp of our relationship with the Lord burning. This is very important. But in the case of these 10 virgins, 5 of them had that attribute, and 5 let things just go by the wayside. So when the time of the bridegroom's arrival appeared, 5 of them were ready, but 5 of them were not. They were able to hear that the bridegroom was coming, and immediately they got very upset that they didn't have any oil. They begged it from their 5 sisters, bridesmaids, But they were like, no, you have to get that for yourself. It's not something I can give you. I have seen people over the years, they want people who have pursued a spiritual life to impart to them something that they have not pursued themselves. And you know, it's important that each and every individual believer pursue their own relationship with the Lord. That's not something someone else can give you. That is something that only you can pursue with God yourself. And so it's important that you keep your oil filled and burning bright every single day. So we see in this example that the five were not ready when the return of the Messiah, when the return of Christ came, when the bridegroom came. They were not ready. Five were ready, five were not. And it's a kind of stark realization that this is definitely possible, that people who have expressed interest or expressed some mental assent with Christianity but have never really pursued God themselves will be quite distressed when the Lord returns and they don't quite make it in. In the case of this story that Jesus gives, the bridegroom comes, the five who have their oil go in with him, and the five who did not come with oil had to run out, try to find some for themselves. They come back. By then, the door is closed. They knock. And the bridegroom says, I don't even know you. I don't know who you are. He doesn't open to them. It's a very sad picture, but it's a true picture that there is a time, and it is vital that we who have the opportunity to hear the gospel and to know of the things of God that we continue to pursue. God desires that. The day will come when Jesus will return, and those that are ready will go in with him to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And those who thought about it but never got around to it will not go in. And that suddenness of his return will shock a lot of good people who intended to give their lives to Christ but never did. So this parable really speaks to us about always being ready, always being serious pursuers of the things of God, and not to just take for granted that there will be time at the end to give your life to Christ, or there will be time to get serious about God. You don't know that you'll have time. You don't know that. And so this speaks to us about the importance of being serious and staying awake and being a pursuer of God at all times. Then we find this second parable that's presented here in Matthew. And this one is the one about the talents that were given to the three servants. And I really love this parable because it speaks to us about God's requirement of people to be diligent and good and faithful stewards of whatever it is that God has placed in their hands in terms of gifts for their lives. Now, the word talent that's used in this parable was a reference to an amount of money. And if you calculated it in today's values, it would be an enormous amount of money. If it was a talent of gold, it would be in the multi-millions. If it was silver, it would still be a large amount of money. So this man in the parable, the master of this estate, was going to go on a long journey. He called his servants together, and it says he entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, each according to his own ability. So this is representative of the Lord Jesus himself, returning to heaven, ascending to heaven. And it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, when he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. So here's this parable talking about this man who is going to go on a long journey. And before he does, he gives his possessions to these servants. So he gives them everything they need to do his business while he's gone. Do you realize that when Jesus returned to heaven and he gave gifts to men, spiritual gifts, He gave us everything we needed to function without Him on the earth. He gave us the ability to have faith. He gave us His graces, His gifts, His spiritual gifts, power in the name of Jesus, the gift of the Holy Spirit, enabling us to function the way that God would have us to function and to do His work on the earth while He's not here. Then He is going to return, and then He's going to require an accounting of what all of us who are His servants, believers, did with what He committed to us. So the story goes, as Jesus told it here in Matthew 25, that when the master went and traveled, he left this amount of money, 10 talents, 5 talents, and 1 talent, with these servants, giving to them wisely according to their ability. He entrusted them with something that came from himself. It says with his goods. He entrusted them with his possessions. And then when he came back, he required an accounting of what they did with what he had given them. And he was pleased with servant number one, who doubled his money. He used what he had been given wisely, and he produced fruitful return on the investment, so to speak, that the master had given to him. Second servant also did a good job, had an equal return. He doubled what was given to him. And then he gets to the last servant, who was afraid to do anything with what he was given, and he just buried the thing. And then he gave it back to him. Here it is, what you gave me. He didn't do a thing with it. He produced absolutely no fruit. He was, according to the master, a wicked and lazy servant. He called him wicked. He called him lazy because he did not utilize what the master had given to him. Have you ever seen someone who had great talent, but they never used it, or they wasted it, or squandered it, or weren't willing to work at it and increase what they have? They were lazy about the very gift that God had given to them. It's frustrating to see someone like that. Over the years in pastoral ministry, we have seen people who were very gifted and never used the gifts that God had given them for any good purpose. God requires of us that we utilize diligently, fastidiously, faithfully, whatever it is that God has given to us. If you are a person who looks at themselves and say, I don't have any gifts, that is a lie, first of all, because God has given something to everyone. And there's no excuse for not using the gifts and abilities and blessings that God has placed in your life. And if you genuinely think you have absolutely nothing, no gift, no ability, no nothing in your life that you can use for God's good purpose, then you need to go to someone who knows you well and ask them, do you see anything in my life that would be useful for God's purposes? Go to your pastor, go to whoever it is in your church that knows you the best, and ask them and let them correct you, because I'm telling you, God has given to every man a gift, every woman a gift. There is not a person on the earth that God has created that hasn't been given something from the Lord. In this parable, even the one talent person, the person who's given one talent by the Lord, was required to produce fruit from that. And he was punished because he did not. So you need to get over that, first of all. Secondly, if you're lazy about it, then you need to ask God to help you. Because there are many people who have gifts that aren't utilizing them for any good reason. Maybe they utilize them only for their own edification or to get something for themselves. But God has a higher purpose for you than that. And God will call to account every single person on the earth to whom He has given gifts. God gave gifts to men. That's what the scripture says in Ephesians, and we need to be aware that that is the truth. And if the devil has lied to you that you have nothing, then you need to have someone help you see the truth, then repent for believing the lie, and then put yourself in God's hands and say, God, show me what it is you want me to do with what I have. Now, I have seen people over the years, people in ministry who have so many more gifts than I have myself, and I have been in amazement over their anointing or their gifts, and they've used them to the utmost, and they accomplish so much. And I am quite sure that God will be very pleased with the diligence and the pursuit of using what God has given them to the maximum capacity. But God will not require of me to do more than I have, but He does require of me to use what He has given me to the maximum capacity. I may not have the 10 talents or even the 5 talents, but He will require of me to use the 1 talent I have for the purpose of God, and He does that with every single person. We all have gifts. We all have capacities, anointing, spiritual gifts. Let us make use of them, because we will be required to give an account. Let us make use of them for God's purposes and make no excuse for not using them for God's purpose. I just know that in our very busy society, many people say, I'm too busy to do anything else in my life but just survive. And then that in itself needs to be repented of, because the reality is God will give you grace to do what He would have you to do. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way if you honestly go to the Lord and ask Him, God, I don't see how in the time that I have, I can utilize the gifts You've given me for Your purpose. I can just barely get myself to work, get home, make dinner, take care of my family, but I don't have any other place to use the gifts You've given me for Your purpose. God will show you a way if you genuinely desire to obey the Lord in this. And I believe this parable has been given to us so that we are conscious of the reality that God will require of us use and diligence in using what God has given into our hands. And it's the devil's strategy to make people so busy that they never utilize what God has given them for the purposes of God. You know that God says here in this parable, gives us through this parable, this interesting and important insight, that God desires to make you ruler over many things, but you have to be faithful in a few things before you ever become ruler over many things. That is a truth of Scripture, but it's God's desire for you. He wants to promote you. He wants to use you in greater things than you've ever known, but He always requires us to be faithful in the smallest thing first. And that also is taught here in this very important parable that Jesus gave to us. So I want you to consider today, as you meditate on this parable of the talents, is there any area of your life, any gift in your life, any anointing or special ability that God has given to you that you have not used for God's purposes? Then ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten you. Show me, Lord, how I can use that for You. Maybe you have an artistic gift. Maybe you have a writing gift. Maybe you have a speaking gift. Maybe you have a gift of mercy that you haven't been putting to use because you're so busy at work and all you do when you come home is drop into bed because you're so exhausted. God is able to make a way if you go to Him and say, Lord, I want to be used by You, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to do that, but show me how to make that work with my responsibilities that I have for my family and for my work and whatever other particular things that you have happening in your life right now. God may say you need to remove that thing from your life so that you can do what I would have you to do. Be willing to be adjusted by the Holy Spirit, be used by God for His purpose. He wants to use you, and He wants to increase you. He wants to promote you, but you're going to have to be faithful in little before you're made ruler over much. God bless you and give you a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.